Sasha and I, we just want to thank you very much for your love and support for us, being a part of our lives and being a part of our ministries. This church is special to me. It's been a part of my ministry since probably 1986. I remember being over at the Borough Building and sharing there what I was going to be doing with the Campus Crusade for Christ. And then I think Sasha came here to the church first time maybe in 2005 or 2007 and also got to share about the ministry in Ukraine. And so I've known Sasha since he was probably about 19 years old, met him in maybe 1998, 1999 when as a student, and we're both going into the dorms sharing the gospel with students and doing evangelism and discipleship. And just a reminder for those that Sasha Zebra, he's a national country leader for Campus Crusade for Christ in Ukraine. In Ukraine, it's called Ukraine for Christ. And I'm going to let him share. He has a presentation about the ministry and about how God is working in Ukraine. And then at the very end, I will share. But so I'll have Sasha come up, and he will share the presentation about the ministry.
Thank you, John. Can you hear me? Yeah, it's a blessing to be here with you today. Again, 7.5 years later. So I think my last time at Peninsula Bible Fellowship was in June or July 2017. So, well, six and a half years. I was here with my youngest son, with my oldest son. But my first time in Peninsula Bible in this gym was in June 2005. And I spoke Russian. John interpreted for me. I would try to speak English with you. I hope you will understand me. But if my Slavic accent is kind of strange, raise your hand and I will explain what I mean. Yeah, so I'm on staff with Campus Crusade in Ukraine since 2002. I'm married. My wife and I, we have four children. Right now, because of the war, we live in Budapest, Hungary. My oldest son, he is a student in Belhaven University in Jackson, Mississippi, a small Christian college. And other three kids and my wife, they are in Budapest right now. So as John said, the ministry in, of Campus Crusade for Christ in Ukraine, we called Ukraine for Christ. And this is our picture from the National Staff Conference that we had in August. Last August, and it was a big blessing for us to be together because of the war, we kind of spread it all around the country and not only in Ukraine. So Ukraine for Christ, we have 130 national staff, 130, and right now about 100, they live and serve in Ukraine. 30 staff, they live and serve out of the country, primarily in Hungary. We have 17 staff who live and serve in Hungary. We have 4 people in the U.S. We have 4 people in Poland. And we have 2 people in England and 1 gal in Kazakhstan. So, again, we have people in different countries because of the war. Again, just for context, so we have a war. It's a full-scale war. Even though you don't hear maybe much right now in your news, but the war, maybe you do, but if you don't, the war is still there. I don't see any big difference like since last year, for example. The front line is pretty stable. I'll show you a picture about what's happening right now. And again, next Sunday, Bob will continue preaching and teaching, but our goal today for John and me just to share what God is doing in Ukraine, and I hope it will be encouragement just for you. I will not talk much about the war, but I'll try to focus more what God is doing through the circumstances and how he is working, how people come into Christ, and I hope it will encourage you. So, The vision of Campus Crusade globally is build spiritual movements everywhere so everybody knows the true follower of Jesus. So we are working with partnering with local churches, and we are building this community of believers so that everybody would know the true follower of Jesus. But this is our reality right now. We have a war, and for me as Ukrainian, the war started not in February 22, but in February 2014, when Russia annexed Crimea. That's a small peninsula on the southern part of Ukraine and eastern part of Ukraine. That's a little bit more darker. Two spots was occupied since February 2014. More like light pinky areas, the territory that were occupied since February 2022. And just the size of this occupied territories, that's territory of Ukraine, it's 233,000 square miles, and occupied territory is 42 square miles. I think it's about two Kenai peninsulas. If you would put two Kenai peninsulas together, that's the size of occupied territory as for November 22. It's about 18% of our territory now is not under Ukrainian government control. And so this is this front line that separates kind of Russia-controlled territory from Ukraine-controlled territory. It's pretty stable, but every week we see that this village was liberated by Ukrainian army, and then maybe a couple months or a couple weeks later, that village took back by Russian soldiers. And so, as I mentioned, we have 130 national staff and five guys, six guys, they served in the military since February 22. Two of them were released from the army, one because his wife gave birth to their third child. And in Ukraine, because of the martial law, if you have three or more children who are younger than 18, you kind of free from the serving in the military. So right now I have four children, but three of them are still younger 18. So I'm here with you because I'm able to leave the country. I'm traveling back and forth. But six guys were in the military, one back because of his wife gave birth, and second because his father was diagnosed with some serious disease, and that was another way for soldiers to be kind of released from the army. But four guys, full-time staff of Campus Crusade, Ukrainians, they're serving in the army right now, and all four of them, they are in different spots of this front line. Here's my family, my wife Yulia and I. We have four children, Sasha Jr., who was here with me in 2017, Renat, Max, and little Kira. And again, this little Kira, because she's 7, Max 14, Renat 16. Because of them, I'm able to travel, I'm able to visit different partners, build relationship within our own organization, Campus Crusade, globally. But again, if work will continue, if it will not finish in 2 years, and Renat will take 18, I will be in the country and potentially can be drafted. About our ministry. So we have 9 different kind of focuses in our ministry. It's all started with students. As you know, Campus Crusade for Christ, back in 1951 by Bill Bright, started to reach college students. And it's also started in Ukraine, since Ukraine became independent in 1991. And so there was two main focuses, to reach college students and partner with local churches and help them in the ministry of evangelism and discipleship. Then we started to work with high school teachers in 94, family life we opened in 2001, military ministry, as I said. The war started in 2014, and as a response on that war, we started to work with chaplains and reach, soldiers in our army. Then we started to work with business people, young professionals, with athletes, with musicians. I heard this word today, The ministry among musicians we called Crescendo. So I heard that term as you mentioned. So this is, we are reaching, we have a lot of work in different conservatories all around Ukraine. And so this is a kind of brand new or still new ministry, but specific emphasis to reach professional musicians. Humanitarian ministry, again, that's the last one that we opened just last year as a response to the war and crisis that this war created. So I want to just share about these four specific projects under humanitarian ministry. And if you receive our newsletters, both John and I, we mentioned about these projects as well. But I just want to show you some pictures and a couple of videos. The videos will be in Ukrainian with English subtitles. So hopefully you will see, but at least it will give you a picture what we are doing, how we are working with internally displaced people and refugees in Ukraine. So a yellow box project. We printed yellow boxes. We didn't have it with us. We brought to Alaska, but it's not here. So the project, and we put it as four symbols: heart, division sign, cross, and question mark. So these four symbols help us to share four spiritual laws. Many of you are probably familiar with this booklet that Campus Crusade used for many years to share the gospel. Right now, it's a little bit, it's more like simple way. These four symbols, heart, division sign, cross, and question mark. And this idea, so four weeks in a row, the family of refugee or internally displaced people, they receive these four boxes. First week, first box with the food, different pasta, macaroni, cans, sunflower oil, sugar, salt, some basic things that we are able to squeeze into that box. But in addition to the food, we put a small booklet that describes that tells people about God's love. Second week, same box with pretty same items inside the box, but the message about sin. So the division sign represents the idea that holy God and the sinful man are separated because of sin. So third week, same family, same yellow box with the food and message about what Jesus did on the cross. Fourth week, same box, same family, and message in that box about importance to make a personal decision. Like, okay, you know that God loves you. You know that you sin man. You know that what Christ did for you. But what about you? How it's impact you? So during these four weeks, we are not just able to help people to fulfill their physical needs, but we are build relationship with them. We getting to know them better. We know their situation. We pray a lot of them about them, and it build a trust. And so it's easy for us then to it's not just force meeting when we share the gospel. It's during this series of meetings. So we started this project last year, 2022 in June. And since that time, we distributed more than 100,000 of yellow boxes. So you could say that about 25,000 people or families had a chance to hear the gospel. And I will show you some information that we received from churches that we are partnering with. As I said, 130 staff, 100 in Ukraine. It's impossible to do this 100,000 boxes. So we are partnering with many Ukrainian churches, and I just want to show you a short video, but it's about 3 minutes, and give you a picture how we are working to distribute all these boxes.
Наш давній ресурс запор, дуже проста ідея, Євангелія в чотирьох символах, і ми зробили чотири коробки. Це не лише пробка з їжею. Тут також є послання надії для цих людей. Кожного місяця ми виготовляємо кілька тисяч коробок. Організований процес на цьому складі і постійно приходять волонтери. Сьогодні це студенти з Українського руху кемпус, а також з різних міст України. Кожного тижня до нас приїздять такі цілі делегації волонтерів з церков.
Я працюю з понеділка по п'ятницю. Кемпус є класна можливість волонтерити по суботах.
Я тут заради людей, яким потрібна допомога. Це не складна робота, тому її може виконувати я, звичайно, студентка.
За цей рік ми не просто зробили кілька десятків тисяч коробок, але ми більше зрозуміли потреби людей. Ми допомагаємо різним верствам населення.
На декілька групах лайкаються людей. І є відсоток людей, які відвідують служіння нашої церкви.
Взагалі була далеко від церкви. Зараз цікавлюсь, мабуть, треба покаятися.
Ми самі во второй раз переселенці, тому дуже добре розуміємо, наскільки це важливо не уставати і не закінчувати цю роботу, продовжувати, тому що нові люди, нові душі, їм здається, що вони нікому не потрібні. Коробки ваші дуже виручають. Храни вас Бог. Все вам доброго.
Хто в чому був, всі втікали. А тепер і взулися, і одяглися, і в'язалися.
Дуже-дуже велике вам дякую. І ваші всі команди.
Сьогодні на складі ми зібрали більше тисячі коробок, які поїдуть по всій Україні для переселенців. Слава Україні!
Слава!
Наша мрія була розповсюдити і зробити 100 тисяч коробок. Минув вже рік. З того часу, і ми розповсюдили майже 90 тисяч коробок. Слава Богу, наша мрія здійснюється.
Вдячні, що познайомилися з вами, і вдячні за підтримку, як духовну, так і матеріальну.
Yeah, so the idea that together with many local churches, we are able to help them actually to reach the community of internally displaced people in their villages or in their towns. And some information that we're able to gather from our churches, so that just pictures show that, so this pastor organized a group of group meeting where he share about one of the element of these boxes, and then at the end everybody receive this box. So just for 30 churches that were able to raise kind of statistics or information from them, we know that 1,140 people accepted Christ during these groups. 815 people started attending home groups. 949 people started visiting the church, and 62 people were baptized. And it's just portion of that information that we have from the 30 churches. And to addition to yellow boxes or working with internally displaced people, we're also working with orphanages, because right now, again, all these orphans, they need even more help. Yellow boxes, there's just one project. Second project that I want to show, that's a Christmas box. Same idea, but just one box and during Christmas time. In Ukraine, we still have two Christmases. One is a normal time, December 25. And second is according to all kind of Orthodox calendar, which is January 7th. I'm pretty sure that Christians, that all believers here, they most likely celebrate January 7th as well. But it gives us 2 weeks when we are focusing on topic of Christmas. So during last Christmas, so from the December, January 22, 23, we distributed 10,000 of these Christmas boxes, and we just printed another 10,000 boxes. And I just want to show you a small video that's just on Friday, last Friday, from our warehouse in Kyiv. It's just a video how our students, volunteers, putting together all these boxes and then putting into the vehicles. And you see this Christmas tree already, so that just we are preparing for. And when we are talking about, when I'm talking about the refugees or IDPs, it's millions of people. According to UN, United Nations statistics, we have, 7 million of refugees in Europe. And we have about the same number of people who are still in the country, and they call this internally displaced people. So the need of for this humanitarian aid is huge, but our goal is not only or just fulfill this physical needs. We are not Red Cross, we are not Salvation Army or some other good humanitarian organization. We still want to keep a focus on the gospel, what we're doing. So for us, the message that has this all these boxes, it's also important, not just food that we are putting inside. So yellow box, Christmas box, military box. As I said, well, right now, four of our guys still in the military, and we are working with many chaplains. And we, for to reach soldiers, we printed smaller, and it's more like not as bright boxes. On that first video, there was a one episode when somebody is giving this yellow box to a person in the tank, but it's very bright, and so we don't want to have, you know, a lot of attention to that. So we changed the design, and it's a different kind of food that we are putting that it will be good for soldiers. So this smaller, like a small shoebox size box, and we are also working in hospitals because we have a lot of wounded soldiers, and we are able to go there and serve and share the gospel with them. And as people are saying, there are no atheists in the foxholes. So people in the front line, talking about soldiers, or especially in the hospitals, it's not difficult to start spiritual conversation with people. And the last project that I want to share today, we called Rebuild Ukraine. We are helping to rebuild private houses to senior people who lost their houses, or who that houses were destroyed or affected by the through the war. And together with one local church from Odessa, a southern part of Ukraine, we started to work in one particular village in Mykolaiv region, which is also southern part of Ukraine. And that church from Odessa, they want to start a new church in that village. So we came with them to do some outreaches, and we met a few ladies whose houses was completely or very badly destroyed, kind of. And so we are helped them to rebuild the house or their houses. We did three projects already, and I just want to show you one project, what we did last August.
Ми знаходимося в Таврійському, Херсонська область.
Спасибо Бабі, що допомагає.
Мета нашого проєкту – за два тижні побудувати будинок.
Нас видно в кадрі?
Так думаю, що буде хат.
This lady in this video, she's 74, and her house was completely destroyed. She moved kind of to their neighbor or to neighbor house, and she was planning to live there through the winter. And when we saw that, and I mean, like, she has no relatives, no children who are able to help her, and we are able to help. And as you can see in this video, the house is very small. It's a small, tiny house, but for that lady, that was like a castle. And when we came there to that village and did different projects, again, we had a lot of conversation with people. Like, people ask, and even this lady, like, why you came here to help me? Like, why me? And so that's, again, that was a great way just to start sharing the gospel. So just talking about all these projects in Ukraine, again, I'm just shared about one particular ministry, humanitarian ministry, but we have very good student ministry. We have a great partnership with local churches in different projects through the evangelism and discipleship. Family life ministry is pretty successful. Crescendo ministry. But just because of this common need or common big crisis that creates this need with humanitarian aid, we see that this is a very relevant way to show God's love and care and actually give people hope. As I said at the beginning, the global vision for Campus Crusade for Christ is build spiritual movements everywhere so that everybody would know a true follower of Jesus. But at the same time, now we see that our main emphasis is on bringing the gospel of hope to every Ukrainian. It doesn't matter if they live in Ukraine or out of the country. And at the end, I want to ask John to share about our ministry to refugees who left the country. And we have 17 Ukrainian staff who live and serve in Budapest, Hungary. And we are also doing different projects with them and outreaches. And if John, you can just come and share what we are doing there.
God is at work, whether it's among Ukrainian people inside Ukraine or among refugees outside the country. And so I'm helping a team in Budapest reaching out to Ukrainian refugees there. And Sasha's wife is also part of that team. She's in the pink sweater, bending down. And it's, as Sasha said, there are around 7 million Ukrainian refugees around the world. And I think in Poland itself, there could be 4 or 5 million refugees. In Romania, maybe 500,000. There's refugees in Hungary. There's refugees in Switzerland. And obviously also in the U.S., and the team in Budapest, we're trying to create a community or a sense of community so that every refugee there would come and contact and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in creating this community, we've been doing different things. We have soccer practice for children, or grandmas or moms would bring their children to soccer, and then we'd develop relationships with the grandmas and moms. We also had English club, where we use the Bible as part of our English classes, and we have had some like self-management seminars where the gospel is brought in. And last spring, we had a family retreat where once again we spend time in the Bible, and then also the yellow boxes. And in every yellow box, there's a Bible study. And then we would transition from the yellow boxes to having a Bible study. And one thing that's really encouraging is that so many of the refugees have said, you know, before the war, I thought a little bit about God, but not too much. But now with the war, I'm thinking much more about God, and I'm thinking that God does exist. He is concerned about me. And the team that I'm working with, you know, we're trying to help people understand that Jesus is the way, truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Because many of them, they have a lot of New Age stuff in their head and different ideas, and so we're trying to help them understand it's through Jesus that they can have a relationship with God. And as I said, many have said, you know, before the war, But now, since the war started, they're on their way to understanding who God is. And most of the refugees are women, grandmas and moms and children, but there are some men. And there's one man in his early 40s. His name is Sasha. He has a Jewish background and also a Catholic background. He studied at a Catholic university in Poland, but also his children went to a Jewish school in Kyiv. And now in Budapest, he's a teacher at the Jewish school, and his children go there. But for the longest time, he would just come to fun events that we'd have for men. And then a few weeks ago, he started coming to the evangelistic Bible studies that we had. And so one Wednesday, I said, Sasha, are you going to come next week? And he's like, of course. For 40-some years, I've been trying to figure this out. So of course I'm going to come next week. And he's been coming on a regular basis to our Bible studies. And another just example of God at work. There's a lady who grew up in the Crimea Peninsula, where there's a group of people called Tartars, who are from a Muslim background. And this lady, she had started coming to the Yellow Box meetings. Then she would come every now and then to the evangelistic Bible studies. And once she started coming to the Yellow Box meetings, she started reading the Bible for the first time in her life. And this before the war, she never read the Bible. But now she's reading the Bible and discussing it with one of the staff women. And then also there's another young guy. His name is Slavic. He also has some background from Crimea Tatar. But his mother, in the spring, she came to the Yellow Box meetings. And then finally he started coming. And it's really neat to see him try to figure this out, and he has been coming to the evangelistic Bible studies. And so God is at work among refugees in outside of Ukraine, and God is at work among the internally displaced people in Ukraine, and he's working among those who are not internally displaced, but he's working among every Ukrainian. And I want to show you another slide. Just a second before we go to it. Have another slide where there's some prayer requests. And if you want, you can take a picture of this with your phone. I'm not sure if maybe just the front rows, but if you took a picture, you'd have the prayer requests. And pray for spiritual revival in Ukraine and in those countries affected by the war in Ukraine. And so pray for spiritual revival, you know, in Romania, in Hungary, Poland, Germany, in Ukraine. Pray for revival in Ukraine, Russia, the U.S. And I include the U.S. there because there's refugees here and there's so much stress and fear about the future. And so just pray that all these things will create an opportunity for a spiritual revival. And next, pray that our staff would be abiding in Christ, depending on Christ. Our world has changed so much in the last almost 2 years. And even before the war started, you know, for maybe 2 months before the war, we're living under the constant idea that Russia could invade. And it's like, you know, what do you do when you hear every day, Russia's going to invade, Russia's going to invade? We'd hear that for probably 2 months. And, of course, as we'd hear that, we also heard that, you know, the U.S. Embassy were taking out their people. We'd hear that some mission organization was taking out their people. And so when you hear that on a regular basis, and now almost 2 years of war, it creates a lot of uncertainty in people. And so pretty soon it'll be 2 years. And so just pray that our staff, that we would be abiding in Christ, depending on him, because, like I said, just all that uncertainty affects people spiritually, emotionally, and the war has a lot of side effects emotionally on people. There's been staff who themselves or spouses have had strokes just from all the stress. And so pray that we'd be abiding in Christ, depending on Him. And also just pray that our staff would have wisdom in doing evangelism and discipleship during the war, context of the war, that we'd still have a focus, that our DNA would be evangelism and discipleship, but we'd have wisdom in how to communicate that during the time of war. And also pray that for the safety of our staff in the Army. As Sasha said, at first we had 6 men that were in the Army. Now there's 4. But some of those men, one guy, Yvonne, who maybe 2 weeks ago was just sent out to deactivate mines, his father is on the front line. One guy that was just released, his brother is fighting in the Army. And then we also have staff, one gal, her 2 brothers, they're in the Army, and during the early part of the war, both brothers became believers. And so just pray for the safety of our staff that are in the Army. And I also mentioned that one of the first guys that Sasha discipled when he came on staff, back when he lived in Donetsk, was just received a draft notice, and probably any day now will be reporting to the Army. And so just pray for the safety and all of our staff that are in the Army. They're there not only defending the country, but sharing the gospel on a daily basis. They read the Bible with their fellow soldiers, sing songs, and give them hope through Christ. And also pray that the war would come to an end quickly, with Ukraine being victorious and having safe, secure borders. Because if there's just some type of a ceasefire, you know, in a year or 6 months, Russia would continue attacking. And so pray for the safety and a quick end to the war. Everyone wants to go back home. For the refugees that we work with in Budapest, their desire is to go back home. They have husbands there or brothers there, and they all want to go back home. And so pray for a quick in, and like I said, quick in and safe, secure borders, because, you know, still right now on a daily basis, Russia is firing missiles, sending drones, and so still on a daily basis, there are Ukrainians being killed. Sasha's parents, they went back home recently, but when they went back home recently, there's missiles that were hit in their city close to them. So they're maybe 30 minutes from the front line. So pray for a quick end, because this war just affects people's personal lives. So you can take a picture of the prayer request, and we just thank you for your involvement in our lives. And one goal for this trip, you know, Sasha and I, we're wanting to let people know how God is working in Ukraine. Is so many people, you know, just sort of doom and gloom, and or don't know anything. And so we wanted to come and be able to share with churches and individuals how God is working. And also while we're here, we're needing, trusting God to raise up Sasha and his family to be an adequate support so that he can continue to give direction to the ministry. And so the next slide will be, if you want to take a picture of it also, is a account number for myself, for Sasha and Yulia, and for the yellow boxes. So if you took a picture of that, I think you would be able to go online. But also on the back table, we have some prayer cards, mine and Sasha's prayer cards. And on there, you would be able to also go online. But we just really appreciate you guys' love and support and being part of the ministry with us. I don't know if there'd be time for one question, but afterwards, Sasha and I can answer any questions. And I'll ask, let's see, Dennis. Could you pray for us? If anyone has one question, then I'll ask Dennis to pray for us. Any questions? Otherwise, I'll ask Dennis. I know you took a picture of all the prayer requests. If not, we can answer. Well, I think growing up here had somewhat impact, you know, the Orthodox Church in Kenai and the Nilchik, just an interest in the, we'll say, Slavic world. And then when I was working at our headquarters with Campus Crusade for Christ, as in the purchasing department, as a buyer, and I'd buy things for the Jesus Film Ministry, such as generators, film projectors, and then in the early 90s, mid-90s, there's a conferences for teachers in Russia, Ukraine, four-day teacher conferences showing a curriculum, Christianity, like a foundation for society, morals and ethics. And so I got to go on a few trips to Russia and Ukraine. And so each time I went on a trip, part of my heart was left there. And then at that same time, the schools opened up in Ukraine and Russia, and every time I go, part of my heart was left there, and I thought, God, do you want me to go to Ukraine to work with teachers? And so I went in January of 1995 to Donetsk, which is where Sasha and his wife, or at that time future wife, were studying, and we met each other in 98 and 99. And, but like I said, each trip, part of my heart would be left there, and finally it's like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you and go. Thank you.
He is not, I do not count him as American staff. When I'm saying national staff, like John in Ukraine for 27 years, and quite a few staff, current staff of Ukraine for Christ, Ukrainian staff, they came on staff because of John's impact on their personal life, and he was their mentor or team leader then. So that's, I think I mentioned that last time when I was here, that, again, personally, I came on staff because of his example, because I thought that, well, if this guy came to my country from other parts of the world, he learned language. And again, to be in Ukraine in mid-90s was not as fun as was like before the war started. Maybe not now, it's not great time either, but in mid-90s, that was very challenging time. Ukraine just became independent. It was a lot of crises. So people who came to Ukraine in that particular time, well, they suffered a lot and they sacrificed a lot. So that was why, for me, it's a blessing to know John and see him during this 20-plus years. But I'm pretty sure that all of Ukraine for Christ staff would agree that, well, he played significant role and play significant role in our ministry in Ukraine. So we are not letting him go back to U.S. or Alaska, Orlando.
And interesting, as Sasha mentioned, you know, 27 years. Together in, 2004 or 5, there's what's called the Orange Revolution. And on the main square, protesters. And so we got to go down there, Sasha and I and his wife, and we would share the gospel with protesters. Then in 2013, there was another revolution, revolution of dignity, which then turned into, in 14, the start of the war. But during that time also, we would go share the gospel with people. And then, once again, in 2022, Russia continued the invasion. But each time, God continues us to allow us to share the gospel and bring hope to people.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for all that you do over there, sharing the gospel, discipleship, for the bravery of that. So, anyway, just bow our head for a moment. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we have people that we go out and do your command to take the gospel to all nations, and the sacrifices they make. And Lord, we're just thankful that in some small way we can be a help for them. Lord, it takes a lot of us to do that. Lord, we just continue again to ask that your will would be done in that conflict and others throughout the world, that you would come out glorious, that people on every side would turn to you. They would see your love and your salvation, that you are the only way. Lord, we just, again, pray for all those families that have lost members. Lord, we just that put peace on them and try to help them make some kind of sense of all this. Lord, we just pray that that the wisdom would just prevail, Lord, and that wars would just end. But with the evil of human, I'm having a hard time seeing that happening without your total intervention. So, Lord, just bless these men as they go back to Ukraine and they serve you, and just thank you for the blessing they are in so many people. And we just thank you in your glorious name, Lord. Amen.